Good morning. This morning, let's learn from the Bible. As usual, if you have a Bible, please open the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible with you, please look at the screen, which is Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. Let me read it now. Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. According to my original schedule, we were going to study the book of Revelation in the New Testament. But this verse we just read is so important. And there is so much important message in this verse. So we are going to focus on this verse today. This is an interesting way to write this that you see in the verse 28. It was not focusing on the king Cyrus or the king Darius of the empire of Persia, but they focused on Daniel. Daniel was just a vassal. Somehow, Daniel is a subject here. Daniel prospered, it says, not King Cyrus or King Darius. And the word such as prosper is a word that is appropriate to a king. But somehow, the Bible says Daniel prospered. So in that sense, it's kind of interesting. That's what the verse says. If you look at secular textbooks that typically focus on the rise and the fall of various kingdoms, you'll see king prospered. So it typically focuses on the secular power holder. But verse 28... in book of Daniel, focuses on Daniel. So it has a different perspective. It didn't focus on the rise and fall of secular kings, but it focused on this a man, a very godly man. The fact that the verse focused on a godly man means it focused on the kingdom of God instead of a secular kingdom. God's kingdom is not necessarily the only place where we go when we die. God's kingdom also refers to a place where God's authority or sovereignty is very, very important. That's what God's kingdom is. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you are reborn, and that's when God's kingdom begins. In all the areas in our lives where we live, if we confess our faith in Jesus, and if we live by the word of Jesus, that's what God's kingdom is. That's what it means. God's kingdom is where an area where God's sovereignty reigns. So if you have God in the center in your family, that's God's kingdom. If you let God live in your heart, that's where God's kingdom is. So, in various areas of our lives, God's kingdom can exist. as long as you let God be in charge. If you look at this hymn 467, it says, since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been heaven to me, and mid earth's sorrows and its woe, this heaven in my Jesus is here to know. Hallelujah. This is my heaven. This heaven is to know my sins forgiven. Well, where Jesus is, this is heaven. So even if you live in this world physically, you can be in heaven. So it's not just a place you go to after you die. That's not just the, God's kingdom. So God's kingdom can exist in our lives even today. If Jesus is in charge of our lives, our sense of insecurity, pain, and inferiority, and all these things are defeated by God. Because of God's sovereignty, then that our life becomes a part of God's kingdom. God gives us all the power to defeat all the problems that we have. If we make Jesus Christ our treasure, then even if the world is turned upside down, if we continue to look up to Jesus, we have the power to defeat all the problems that we have. And we can live in God's kingdom. If you make Jesus Christ your only treasure in your life, then you'll have everlasting life and you have God's kingdom. You know, we never graduate from our faith. But if you try to live this world without Jesus Christ, without having God be in charge of your life, what happens to our lives? Then what happens is that you will have to participate in a never-ending competition in this society. You will always have a sense of insecurity because you have continued to compete. You have to continue to compare yourself to other people. And what you have today may be destroyed tomorrow. And that's why you have a sense of insecurity. Not only that, and when we realize we have committed sins, we will not be able to accept ourselves. We will not be able to love ourselves. That means living a life is like living in a hell. If you don't make Jesus Christ your Lord, and if you can live worry-free somehow, maybe you don't have conscience. If you have conscience, we cannot live our lives without having some sense of insecurity. If you try to live a life without Jesus, it's like living in a hell. If you say you have no problem, no sense of insecurity, I think you are deceiving yourself. or you're not looking at the reality honestly. Or maybe you're making yourself too busy so that you don't notice the problems that you are facing. And maybe you may not have experienced any failure or despair. We've been studying the book of Daniel. If you look at King Darius, he didn't believe in God, and he lived a very hellish life. The power that he had didn't comfort him. The wealth did not comfort him. His status as a king did not comfort him. It looked as if that he had everything, but his hellish life didn't change. Even if he was a king of a huge empire, he was not sure when his empire will disappear. He did not know what was going to happen to him and his empire. The vassals said to him, "Long live the king," but the king will never live forever. The kingship and empire do not last forever, and King Darius knew that. So, people know that, and King Darius knew that. And King Darius met Daniel. Daniel was a godly man who let God be in charge of his life. And then King Darius was influenced by Daniel. That's why King Darius said in verse 26 of chapter 6, "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end." King Darius knew his kingdom is limited and will not endure. But he said about the kingdom of God will endure forever. He said, Daniel's kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end. What about us who are living in Japan? Are you living in God's kingdom in Japan or in America, in China or Brazil? Wherever you are, do we live in God's kingdom? Politicians and people with a lot of power pretend as if that their nation and countries will never end. But everything may be destroyed except God's kingdom. There is another kingdom, King Cyrus, in verse 28. And he also became a person who declared his faith in God. If you look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 22 to 23. And I'll also read Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm, and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up, and may the Lord their God be with them. In Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm, and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests of Levites, everyone whose heart God has moved, prepare to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all the freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his God. That King Cyrus, that destroyed Babylonian Empire, said, build this, you know, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Let the Jewish people who were captives, they were let free, and they can go back and let the king, this temple to be built in Jerusalem. King Cyrus and King Darius were relatives, and they did not necessarily have a good relationship, but they did not hate each other and kill each other. They both ended up praising God, and both helped build this temple in Jerusalem for Jewish people. Let's look at Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 through 14. Then, because of the decree King Darius had sent, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar, Bezanai, and their associates carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. As you can see, as in these verses, King Cyrus and Darius helped to build this temple of God in Jerusalem. Although both King Cyrus and Darius had so much power in the Empire of Persia, but helped build this temple. So there are some things that are not written in the Bible, but it is clear Daniel must have influenced King Darius and King Cyrus. And Daniel must have helped them to believe in God. The kings Darius were badly influenced by vassals who engaged in rebellion. But King Darius and King Cyrus must have communicated with each other, and Daniel must have influenced them to believe in God. So Daniel was able to succeed in influencing King Cyrus and Darius, and helped eventually rebuild this temple in Jerusalem because the two kings cooperated. So the Jewish people were able to go back to Jerusalem for the first time in 70 years. So Jewish people became captives, and they had pain, but Daniel was able to help them. Because Daniel was a godly man, a man with great faith. So this godly man named Daniel helped, saved his nation. Then he was able to talk, lead the king, the two kings, to this God's kingdom through faith. And if you look at, again, verse 28, chapter 6 of Daniel, it says, "So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." So Daniel prospered. He prospered in this invisible God's kingdom instead of the visible kings Darius and Cyrus. And also, people who live in God's kingdom, we can see how different they are in their lives. Even one person, if that person is godly and believes in Jesus Christ, can lead a nation and can lead kings to true ways. You know, in Japan, there is only 1% of the population are Christians, but we do not have to hesitate. One person can change a nation. One person can change people, can comfort and save a nation. The history books that people write are records of, people's power, which nation had power, which country had power, which company had power, which organization had power. That's the record of secular human textbooks. And they always try to focus on people who had power. So the history that people write about is about the rise and fall of people and kingdoms. But oftentimes what happens to people is not necessarily rising and prospering, but if you look more carefully, you can see a lot more failures and falling. Everything in this world fails and falls. And what you see is the people's resistance to failure and falling. So there is no one, or no nation, no organization, no company that can endure forever. If you look at history more honestly, you can see the stories of failure and falling. When first human beings committed sins and kicked out of the Garden of Eden, everything we built ends up in failure and falling. But we pretend to believe that in the 21st century, everything will last forever. That's what we tend to believe. But that's a deception. But even if there is deception, we tend to beautify our history. We beautify people's records. And we beautify stories. And then we glorify what people can accomplish. And we want to believe and pretend to believe that we can overcome every problem. Of course, God gives us general blessings. And so we have enjoyed those blessings. But if you do not believe in God, and if you just rely on human power, you'll end up in failure and falling. But we pretend not to see that. We live in a small world and encourage each other and pretend that everything will be okay. And then many people don't see evil when evil things happen and do not see the difference between what's evil and good. And we tend to focus on material things. Now, we have this new coronavirus problem in the world. This coronavirus stopped the world. In the world where 7 billion people live, 4 billion people lives were completely changed. Many people have to quarantine themselves. Schools are closed, companies are closed, churches are closed, temples are closed. People are working online, people are taking classes online, people are watching services online. So this is the first time that we, in a long, 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 long time, that we watched the whole world collapse this quickly. Rich people, poor people, famous people, prime ministers, and even the imperial family members were not affected by this virus. All the things that we have built didn't help completely stop this virus. So this virus stopped everything we have built up. So this coronavirus achieved an incredible feat in stopping the world. We've had disasters and conflicts and wars that affected some specific areas, but not in our lives, and probably the first time since Noah's flood, the world has been affected. But, and I think the coronavirus was used as a means. It's not the coronavirus, it's a subject. Coronavirus was an instrument, I think. So this virus was used. And what will be the next thing that may happen in the world? As Christians, you may think instinctively the way this is coming from. I think it came from God, the God that controls everything in this world. I think God has helped, let this happen. If you look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. So, God, the Bible says, even a sparrow does not fall without God. If this virus is affecting the entire world, then God may be responsible for that to happen. God let this happen in this world. There are many records of God's influence in the world in the Bible. Of course, the Bible itself is a record of God's influence on the world. So it had happened in the past. There is a pastor that I respect in America. This pastor named John Piper. I've never met him before. And he published this book in April. It's titled Coronavirus and Christ. If you look at this book, this pastor, John Piper, says, what is God trying to accomplish through coronavirus? That's the question he raised in the book, and he gave six answers. Let me introduce some of these six answers according to him. First, according to him, the God is trying to show how sinful and spiritually ugly this world is through coronavirus. Second, God may be trying to judge the world through this coronavirus. Third, the coronavirus may be a message that the second coming of Christ may be coming. So be prepared. Four, through the coronavirus, God is trying to help us to repent and restructure our lives. Number five, through coronavirus, God is trying to reassure us that we need to overcome fear and self-pity and to believe in God. And six, God wants us to want us to wake up the Christians and evangelize the world quickly. So, according to John Piper, God is trying to accomplish these six things. To expose this sinfulness in this world and judge the world and reminding us of the end of the world and restructure our lives as Christians and wake up the Christians. And to evangelize the world, even if this is a difficult time. What do you think? What do you think? Do you feel anything? I think this is a perspective from the God's kingdom. So, not looking at history through focusing on people's power and the change of reigns in countries, but the perspective of God's kingdom. How is God's hand is working throughout the world? This is the perspective from the God's kingdom. And Daniel had this kind of perspective. He had spiritual insight. And he prospered. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to... I do. I want to prosper. There is no one, probably, in this world who does not want to prosper. Everybody wants to prosper. If that's the case, you need to make Jesus Christ your only treasure. You need to focus on Jesus Christ. You need to look up to Jesus Christ. You need to live with Jesus Christ. You need to obey Jesus Christ. You need to carry the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to live in God's kingdom. If you do so, God's prosperity will come to you. Then you can taste the prosperity of God's kingdom. You can enjoy the happiness in God's kingdom. You were able to feel the joy of having an eternal life that comes from God. Even if you'll be saved from despair, you can see the light. Please believe in Jesus Christ. You need to truly believe in Jesus Christ. You need to make Jesus Christ your only treasure in your life. Then you will get the blessing of prosperity. Let us pray.